One more week after this week in the series that we're in, series titled Why We Do What We Do, really important series, because the series addresses why we do what we do as a church, why we do what we do as individuals pertaining to the life that we do together. And not just together, but you know, as we talked about this, how you act and why you act is about your behaviors, and our behaviors are a byproduct of what's important to us, what we value. And so your personal behaviors, whatever they might be, whether it's at home or at work or wherever you're at, your personal behaviors are a byproduct of your values, what you think is important. So if you put yourself as being most important, your behavior is going to show that in a more selfish way. If you say, you know what, other people are really important in my life, then guess what? Your behavior is going to be a little more selfless because you value people more than yourself. Now, in this series, one of the things that we've been looking at, we have to address it because all of this has to do with our personal behavior, your behavior, mine, how we live. So our actions are kind of defined by three different things. And first of all, it's the standard that you choose to live by. All of us have a standard. It's that code of behavior, that code of ethics, that moral compass that all of us have. Some people use culture, some people use God, some people use the Bible that is their moral compass. And it depends on what your compass is that determines what your behavior is going to be, because the truth is your standard gives you permission to act as you do. Whatever your standard is, if your standard is what culture tells you, then your culture is going to tell you, they're going to give you permission to act as you do. Our actions are also defined by the vision that we choose to live out. All of us have a vision for our lives. What is the vision that you choose to live out in your life? As a church, our vision is to creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. That's not just something that we do when we're here at church. That's something as the church, because remember, this is not the church. You are the church. As the church, that's something that we live out every single day. That's something we live out when we're at home. It's something we live out when we're at work. We creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus. And a vision gives us a purpose to live out. And that's really important because most people don't live with a purpose in their life. The last action that we talk about, our action is defined by the values that we choose to live with. And values are beliefs that establish our behaviors. They are principles that tell us what's important in our life. As I said earlier, if people are important, then that's going to be a value system to you. If God is important to you, that's going to be a value system to you. We talked last week about the importance of becoming what God wants us to be, that God says, hey, come as you are, but don't stay that way. We have a value that says God is always transforming us, always. That's not something that we just take and leave. It is a value. So we anticipate God bringing change into our lives, and we look for that change, all of us. And values, what they do is they give us priorities to live with. We understand what's really important, and we prioritize those things. What's really important in my life are based on the values that we have in our lives. Every week, we've kind of looked at different values, how they pertain to what we do as a church and why we do what we do. This week's the value is no different. It's really important. And that's this. The value is this: honoring others honors God. And you might say, oh, that's great, but it doesn't move me, you know, but hopefully it will by the time this is done. Hopefully you'll understand that how we honor others actually honors God. And we honor others because it honors God. So we choose our words and we choose our actions to honor people because it honors God. And that's the idea. That's something that, I mean, when we say, hey, why would I serve? Why would I serve in Kitty Quest? Why would I serve in the youth group? Why would I serve my community? Because honoring others honors God. If God is a priority in your life, then you want to honor other people. Now, we can't creatively love and lead people in a growing relationship with Jesus if we don't honor people. So what does it mean to honor others? The definition would kind of read out this way. To honor others is to value or to highly esteem, to treat as weighty or valuable. So here's the thing. When we honor someone, what we're doing is we're choosing to build them up. When people are broken down, we get to be a part of the process that builds them up. In a world that tears people apart, we come alongside people and build them up. We believe the best in people. In a world that assumes the worst, we choose to believe the best. To me, that's one of the biggest things. In our world, it is, especially in today's world, it is the worst is always assumed. The worst is always assumed. So when we come alongside and we choose to accept or we choose to believe the best, though we have no reason to believe, we choose to believe the best in somebody, there's nothing that stands out more than something like that. We also establish their value. We recognize that they are valuable to us because most people are unaware that they even have a value. I mean, they think that the family might think they're important, but they don't really, they have not embraced that they themselves have an inherent value. We also honor others because we show them appreciation. We recognize that we are grateful for them, that they are actually a blessing in our lives, that they are actually a blessing to the world because they exist, because God created them. We live in a world that needs to be loved, especially in this politically divided world that we live in. And if we, as the church, would love others as God's called us to love others, it would allow God to bring healing that God wants to bring to our community and to our world. God calls us to love like He does. It's Matthew 5, Jesus said this, "If you love only those people who love you, will God reward you for this? Even tax collectors love their friends. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about this? Don't even unbelievers do that?" And so you kind of anticipate that He's calling us to something more. And He says, "But you must always act like your Father in heaven." In other words, whatever the culture is doing, that's not your standard, right? That's not what God's calling us to. That's not what Jesus is calling. That's not the standard that we're choosing to live by. He says the standard is that we're supposed to act like our Father in heaven. One of the expressions of God's love is to honor other people. And first of all, let's look at what honor is not. Honor is not based on feelings, but rather on our obedience. It's an act of obedience, actually. Scripture tells us to honor people in our lives. It says in Romans 12:10, "Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." Don't make it a chore, take delight in it. Honor is also not natural, but a supernatural response. We would love to think that honor is just a natural response to, you know, being a good person. The truth is, it's more than just being a good person. It calls us to a spiritual response, and I'll explain to it this way. When 1 Peter was written, Peter writes, and there was a king, and his name was Nero, and Nero was wicked and hated, not just by the Jewish people, but by the Roman people. He was that bad. And he was persecuting Christians in unthinkable ways. I mean, seriously, I believe that Nero was one who had Christians skinned and used their skin as lampshades for his palace. I mean, this was a wicked king, all right? So that's where this is written. And yet the scripture says this way, "Honor all people, love the family of believers, fear God, and honor the king." I mean, look at, I'll take the honor all people. I'll take loving family members because I know they can be difficult. Obviously, I'll fear God, but the king? I mean, that's why this is not a natural response, but a spiritual response, because this isn't the easy response. This is a spiritual one. And here's the thing. It's recognizing that authority is established by God. The scripture, it's given, it's Romans 13, where it's laid out that all authority that's given comes to us from God, so that when there's somebody that's in authority, whether it's spiritual authority or in the government, that we have to take that as that God has put those people in that place of authority. It says, "Obey rulers who have authority over you. Only God can give authority to anyone," and He puts these rulers in their places of power. People who oppose the authorities are opposing what God has done, and they'll be punished. See, it's part of it is recognizing that authority comes into our lives, whether we like it or not. So, you know, I say this because I don't know what, this isn't a political issue, but however you feel about the president or however you feel about our governor, because those are the two people that people have problems with right now, whichever one it is, scripture says honor those that are in authority over you. Culture tells us that honor is just like respect. They're really similar, but biblical definition really kind of shows that they're not that similar. I mean, there are similarities, but they are different. And here's the difference. You can respect someone without caring for them, but you can't honor without love. That's something we've got to understand. You can respect someone without caring for that person, but you cannot honor someone without loving that person. So when God calls us to honor people, it's more than a deeper level of respect. Because first of all, respect is something that's earned and honor is just freely given. So it's kind of a loophole for a lot of people. They say, well, you know, respect is earned, so you've got to earn that with me. Another thing is respect can be attached to things rather than people. And so what we do is we say, it's another loophole, we say, I'll respect the office or I'll respect the position, but not the person, because I don't like the person. And that's kind of our loophole, right? It's our loophole that says, because I don't like the person, I'll respect the office or the position. The problem is God calls us to honor the person. That means we've got to have a heart of love for the people we disagree with. Honor requires this love. And honoring others is important, and there's a few reasons I'll explain why in some of these. But honoring others is important because God tells us, first of all, to honor everyone. While the scriptures call us to specific groups, you know, we're supposed to honor God, we're supposed to honor our parents, we're supposed to honor our spouse and the elderly, authority, government, spiritual leadership, it also says that we're supposed to honor everyone. And that's what Romans 12 says. Love each other as a brother and sister, honor others more than you do yourself. We talked about this last week a little bit, but as Christians or as Christ followers, we choose to identify with Christ, choose to identify with Jesus. And one of the things that we see in Jesus' life is how he honors other people. And you have to look for that because that's supposed to govern how we live our lives. And you can pick whatever example you want. I would encourage you this week, go through the Bible and look at the people that Jesus interacted with and look at how he honors them. But like you can look at the disciples. The disciples didn't have much going for them. They were just fishermen. They were not the best of the best. They were not the elite group. They were the outcast, basically. They were the flunkies, as it were. But Jesus called them and he chose them to be his apprentices. Jesus saw in them what they could not even see in themselves, because that's what you do when you honor people. Maybe it was the woman at the well that might be your example, and she was excluded because she was a Samaritan. She was excluded because she was a woman. She was also excluded because she slept around. But Jesus didn't exclude her. He didn't condone her actions, but he didn't exclude her. Maybe yours, another example is Zacchaeus, a smaller man. Jesus is coming by. He can't see Jesus. He decides to climb into a tree so he can look over the crowd and see Jesus as he passes by. Jesus could have just kind of acknowledged, waved, did the whole thing, the political, hey, good to see you, and then kept going. But Jesus wasn't there for politics. And he stops and he engages Zacchaeus and calls him out of the tree and says, hey, I'm choosing to honor you. He doesn't acknowledge and say, I'm going to honor you. But he says, let's go to your house. I want to spend time with you. I want to talk to you, because that's what we do when we honor people. See, with all these examples, when the world excludes them, Jesus reaches out to them. When the world beats them down, Jesus builds them up. When the world writes them off, Jesus writes them into his story, because that's what happens when you honor people. The reason that Jesus honors others is in this next point that's so important. Honoring others is important because honor recognizes God's value of people. Honoring other recognizes God's value of people. See, we value others because God loves them. That's part of why we value others, is because God loves them. You know John 3:16, God's loved the world. Not just you, not just Christ followers. He loves the world. He loves everybody as those who are potentially his. Every person that exists is his child. He created them. And God loves every single person, and we choose to honor them because God loves them. We also value others because they bear the image of God themselves. Every person bears the image and the likeness of God. In Genesis 5, it says, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Every person, every human reflects God. We have his image stamped upon us because we're made in his likeness. And people made in the image of God are loved by God. You have to understand that. It's the song we sang, that we're his children, that he loves us because you bear his image. He sees himself in you. It's kind of like when you have kids and you look and you go, I mean, like we look at our kids and go, oh man, that looks too much like me. Or he acts too much like me. Look at when we bear the image of God, God says, that's mine. I created him. I created her. See, when we look at them through the lens, or we choose to look at people through this lens of the image of who they bear. And I think one of the things that prevents us from really honoring other people is we tend to look at them based on the image of their sin, not the image of who they bear. And what happens is when we look at other people through the image of their sin, that's judgment. And we can't see God in others when we are focused on their sin or their faults. Please get that, because that's what we tend to do a lot of times, especially when we don't understand. Especially when we don't understand people. We tend to look at them through their faults, and you'll never see God, and you'll never honor people that way. Honoring others is also important because honoring others allows me to choose humility. We all have this issue with pride, some of us more than others. But pride is a part of our sinful nature. Pride believes that I'm better than you. Pride allows me to excuse my faults, but not yours. Pride says that I deserve to be forgiven, but you need to earn it. Pride. That's our problem that needs to be dealt with. Not just once, it has to always be dealt with. And the way we deal with it is we put it to death, is what the scripture said. We read the scripture last week, but it needs to be repeated. It says, since then we do not have any excuse of ignorance, everything, and I do mean everything, connected with our old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through, and we've got to get rid of it. That's something that we have to choose to do. Because listen, humility doesn't just come naturally. Pride doesn't get resolved naturally. It's something that we have to choose to address. See, we naturally choose ourselves. When I choose to honor others, it forces me to deal with my sin condition. It forces me to deal with my pride condition. In Philippians, it tells us, when you do things, do not let selfishness or pride be your guide. Instead, be humble and give more honor to others than to yourself. In other words, recognize the value in others more than you recognize the value in yourself. That's an important point to remember because, truthfully, we can't honor others that we value less than ourselves. Can I repeat that? We'll never honor others that we value less than ourselves. We'll never value anybody that we value less than ourselves. So how do we give more honor to others than to ourselves? How do we live this out? First of all, honoring others means I put the needs of others before my own. We all have needs. And all through Scripture, God calls us to consider others before considering ourselves. Whether those needs are physical, emotional, or spiritual, we're not looking to get, we're looking to give. Romans 15 says, we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak. And not to please just ourselves, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself. And again, that's the standard, and we keep getting called back to that standard that's different than my nature, that's different than my sin. We're called back to something, this moral code that's bigger than myself. It's something that's difficult and really requires me to depend on God. And that's putting the needs of others before my own. Honoring others also means I look to serve others before myself. This doesn't mean like letting somebody in line in front of you necessarily. It could. But we look to serve others rather than to be served. Matthew 20, it says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom. So listen, it's always going to call us to a sacrifice. Whenever we choose to serve others rather than choosing to serve ourselves, it calls us to deal with the sacrifice issue. Because that's the thing. We can't walk in humility. We can't deal with pride if there's no sacrifice. And every time we choose to serve others before ourselves, we're sacrificing pride, as it were. We're putting it to death by our actions. In a world that says, look out for number one, God says, look to help others. Honoring others also means this. I treat others the way I would want to be treated. To me, this is probably one of the best things that you can practically do in your life, just today. See, this life that we've chosen to live as Christ followers is going to call us to stand out. It's going to call us to be light in a dark world. And again, one of the best ways that we can do this is simply what Jesus said in this golden rule, and that is treat others as you want others to treat you. It's that simple. You know how you would want other people to treat you. Treat others, take the initiative, and treat others that very same way. See, the reason that honor is so important in why we do what we do is honoring others affects others. How we honor people affects others. So how does it affect them? First of all, it's the style of church that we are, okay? The style of church that God wants us to be is affected by how we honor people. From the music style that we choose, the use of media, the lighting, whatever it is, that however we are as a group, it's different than a lot of churches. And we understand that everybody has preferences. Not everybody likes lights. Not everybody likes different lighting moods and things like that. We all have preferences, but it's not about our personal preferences. It's about the needs of others. And we lay aside, as Christ followers, we lay aside our preferences for the sake of other people. Honoring others also affects the impact that we have on our community. You want to have an effect on the community, it's going to happen through honoring others. Because it's not just about serving our community or serving our neighborhood. It's how we love the community that we're serving. Because remember, you can't honor without love. Matthew, Jesus says this, in the same way, let your light shine before people so that they can see the good deeds, see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. Listen, you honor others, you honor our neighborhood, you honor this community that we're in, that God has put us in, and you honor the people in this neighborhood every time you sign up to be a part of what we do to serve. Like when you sign up to be a part of Halloween, this community outreach, when you sign up to be a part of that, you honor people because you're investing your time and you're valuing them. You're showing that you appreciate them. You're showing that God loves them and that God values them. Every time that we do anything, when you guys were a part of yesterday's rummage sale, that honors the community. It shows that they are important. When we choose to serve, we choose to value people. We choose to build them up. Honoring others also affects how we love others. See, when we honor others, it affects the depth of the love that we have for others. Honor moves us from shallow surface relationships to deep, meaningful relationships. That's what honor does. I want you to listen to this. You've heard this probably read 1,000 times. Every time you go to a wedding, it's not just for marriage, and it's not just a marriage scripture. But 1 Corinthians 13 talks about what love looks like. And I want you to listen to it from the lens of honoring others, from this lens of putting other people first, from this lens of building other people up, from this lens of valuing people rather than ourselves, because it's basically given us the definition of what love looks like. It says love never gives up. It cares more for others than for self. It doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't always me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It doesn't revel when others grovel. But it takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, and it puts up with anything. It trusts God always, and it always looks for the best. And it never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Because that's what love does. Love allows us to honor people at a deeper level. The last one is this: honoring others affects how others see God. When we honor others, it affects their perception. It affects how they experience and see God themselves. Because most people don't believe that God values them. So when we choose to honor people, it demonstrates that God honors people. People get to see God in you. And people need to see the love of God in us. I'm telling you, I believe that it's when we love people is when people see God. People don't see God in your judgment. They don't see God in your lessons. They don't see God in your instructions. You want people to see God? Just love them. That's what Scripture tells us, that if you love each other, everyone will know that you're God's disciples, Jesus' disciples. See, Scripture says that we love because Jesus loved us first. We love because God loved us first. We love because His love changed our lives. So why do we do what we do? Why do we serve our community? Why do we serve one another? Why do we greet each other with love? Why do we treat each other differently? Because when we honor God, when we honor others, it honors God. If you're standing, you can be seated for just a moment and just keep your eyes closed. I'd like you all to close your eyes for just a moment. You know, you sing a song like that, and man, God is so good. And it's so important that we recognize that and acknowledge it. But listen, when you acknowledge it, when you recognize it, the natural response then becomes, if God is good, then people are good. If I'm going to honor God and I'm going to speak of His goodness, if I'm going to believe the best, if I'm going to value Him, then that happens when I honor His kids. My parents are really good at this. I know that other people are really good, but My parents remodeled this for me. I remember, because my parents are old, you know, like they're really old. And they like hymns. And they think that hymns are like Jesus music, right? And not completely. But they love hymns. The kind of music that comes out of a songbook, you know, and it's like 100 years old. And that's their preference. That's what they wish that they would sing at their church. But they understand one thing. Their preference is outdated. And they understand that it's not about their wants and their desires. It's about the others. And they're willing to lay aside their preferences for the needs of new and younger people. This can't just be something that's accidental or something that happens spontaneous necessarily. It needs to be intentional and strategic and planned in our lives. It has to be a priority. Because the why behind what we do is we love God. And because we love God, we love people. And because we love God, we honor people. Because honoring people honors God. So I put the needs of others before my own. I look to serve others before serving myself. I treat others the way I want to be treated. I choose to build others up. I choose to believe the best and not the worst. I choose to establish value where people have none. And I choose to show appreciation. If you're going to deal with the pride issue in your life, if you're going to start walking in humility, if you're going to honor others, it's got to start with a relationship with Jesus. And I just want to put that out there. If you have not started that relationship with Jesus, you just ask him, Jesus, I want to start a relationship with you. I know that I've jacked my life up and I need you. I need you at the center of my life. I need my life to be about you. I need you to be the standard of my life. And I no longer want to be the standard. I no longer want to be the one that calls the shots. I want to defer that and I want you to call the shots in my life again. But that's something that God is waiting for you to do. God will never force you to do anything, but humility cannot happen without new life. I want to pray for you and I want you to pray yourself. I want you to talk to God. And you're going to say, I don't know the words. I don't have the right words. And I understand that. But listen, God, if you just said help, if you said Jesus help, he knows exactly what you need. If you said, my life is a mess and I need you, he knows exactly what you mean. Talk to him. Father, we come to you today just as broken people, people that, Father, we need you at the center of our lives. We need the new life that comes through believing in your son. We need new life that happens through relationship with you. Father, I pray that today that you would help us to honor others, people that have been made into your likeness, people that bear your image. Father, help us to look at others through the image that they bear and not through the lens of the sin that they bear. Father, help us not to look at others with judgment. Help us not to look at others from a selfish standpoint. But Father, teach us and help us to give rather than seeking to get. Father, help us to build others up, to believe the best. Not because it's easy, not because it comes naturally, but because it's spiritual and it needs to happen in our lives. Not just because we agree with their perception or their perspective, not because they are like us. Father, we choose to honor others because it honors you. Father, so help our love to be deeper. Father, help our love to call us to be less about us and more about others and more about you. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.